relationships, parenting, faith. Discover books that will help you grow. The Wednesday Bookmark is brought to you by BooksForChrist.com.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is Shanti Feldhahn. Shanti and her husband Jeff are best-selling authors and popular speakers who both hold graduate degrees from Harvard. Their books have sold around 3 million copies in 25 languages. Shanti and Jeff live in Atlanta with their two teenagers. We're going to talk this morning about their new book. It's called Thriving in Love and Money, 5 Game-Changing Insights About Your Relationship, Your Money, and Yourself. Thanks so much. Always a pleasure, Shanti.
Oh, it's so good to be with you.
Let's begin with the nearly 3 years of research that went into this book. Tell us more about who you spoke with and the sorts of questions that you asked.
Well, you know, all of our books are based on these research studies. We were really trying to get at not, okay, how do you have a great budget? Because there's plenty of books out there on that that can help you with that. What we really wanted to know was, how do you have a great relationship around money? Because we all know it's one of the big issues in marriage, right? And so we did a ton of research to answer that question, including several years of interviews and focus groups, and then culminating in these big representative surveys in order to try to get at what are the things we most need to know.
Okay, let's start with insight number one and see how many of these 5 we can discuss this morning. And the first one is, we often do not value what our partner values. Isn't that the sort of thing, Shanti, that we're supposed to work out in, like, premarital counseling and such?
Probably. Realistically, does anybody do that? I think probably most of us don't even recognize, to be candid, that we even have these different things that matter to us than would matter to our spouse. Because it seems so obvious to us, like, this is just the right way you do something. And if I could just make a quick point beyond just this values conversation, can I just say, this is a moment where we really, really need to understand each other in general, in all of these areas around money. Because up until now, many of us have really been able to avoid it. There's about, what we found in the surveys is about 77% of couples can't really talk about money well.
Wow.
Without getting defensive or, you know, kind of avoiding the conversation, or one person kind of takes over or whatever. And, you know, when we're in a time of great prosperity, we can kind of cope, right? We can kind of get away with that. But in a moment like right now, we really can't do that anymore. We can't avoid it anymore. We have to come together. And this issue of understanding what the other person values is a huge piece of the day-to-day fuss, the day-to-day friction that can sometimes develop, even when it's on something as simple as, you know, one person kind of being the saver and the other person being more the spender and wanting to tip the delivery person that's bringing you your pizza. And, you know, the saver goes, what are you doing? Like, they're bringing the pizza. We paid for it. Yeah, but, you know, this is such a difficult time economically. They're probably trying to pay for, you know, their family's food and needs as well. So let's be generous. Those are just two different values, and neither of them is necessarily demonstrably wrong or right.
Okay, I want to skip over insight number 2 so we can get to number 3, because I think it ties in really well with what you're saying even just there.
Sure.
Which is, we resist being fully one in our marriage, and it's coming out in our finances. And I presume that's a subconscious resistance. Talk a little bit more about that.
It is. It really, honestly, is in marriage. We're supposed to no longer be you and me. We're supposed to be we, right? We're supposed to come together as one. And yet all of us kind of understand that temptation to kind of, I just kind of want to do what I want to do. Now, you don't necessarily go ahead and do what you want to do. You're married. You're trying to come together. And yet that same impetus, that temptation, it does come out in some ways. And one of the ways that it comes out is how we handle money. So many people have been able to kind of cope with, you know, we have money conflict, but we want to avoid it. So your paycheck goes into your account. My paycheck goes into my account. And we talk about money when we have to. You know, you pay this bill, I pay that bill. We talk about money as we have to. Well, that can sometimes, again, sort of cope, you know, during normal situations. This is a moment where we kind of have to be able to come together. And somebody may say, oh, you know what? I don't do that. We don't have separate bank accounts. We're being one, and maybe you are. Maybe that's true. But ask yourself, do you ever try to pull the Amazon package off the front step before your spouse sees it? Like, that's the same impetus to just kind of do what you want to do that causes other couples to separate their financial accounts entirely. It's really just coming to grips with and being honest with yourself about, are we really having the oneness that we're supposed to have in marriage? And how can we come together in a moment like this where we have to be able to talk about money, maybe for the first time?
You use the metaphor, the analogy of untangling wires at a few points in the book. And insight four is, when dealing with money, our different wiring for processing and communication makes us clash instead of connect. So how do we go about untangling those wires?
Well, listen, the processing, we are all different in how we process decisions, and especially money decisions, because it turns out there's so much emotion kind of wrapped up that we don't necessarily realize it underneath the surface, but it's there. And that different wiring could be as simple as, there aren't very many things about money that are gender related at all. We didn't find that statistically, but this was one of them where we found that it tends to be that the male brain and the female brain actually have slightly different wiring for processing, where a woman tends, not everybody, but this is about 75 to 85%, depending on which neuroscientist you look at, that women tend to want to sort of think things through by talking them through. That's more common. You want to process verbally, and whatever it is, oh my gosh, I'm really worried about, are we going to be able to pay for college, you know, now that one of us has had reduction in hours of our job, and you want to talk about that and sort of process through it. Well, the husband, the spouse, the partner in this, the guy, he cares just as much about whether you're going to be able to afford college or whatever. But for men, they tend to process through decisions internally. It tends to be actively difficult for the male brain to think things through by talking them through, or while they're talking them through. They need to go underground and have this sort of internal chess match. And so just as a woman is getting all, you know, concerned and agitated, and we need to talk about this, he's pulling away. He's going, well, can we talk about this later? I don't know. And she's like, don't you care? Yes, I care, but I need to think. So he's trying to pull away in order to process something incredibly important so he can think about it clearly. And she feels that as uncaring. Or he pulls away, he processes it underground. She has no idea that he's thinking about it because he doesn't talk about it by definition. And it pops out the other end as okay, here's what I think we should do about college. Now, she thinks this is the beginning of the conversation. So she's all like, well, what about this? What about that? And he's like, I spent 3 days thinking about this. Like, I've considered all this. Both of these are well-intentioned, goodwill people who care about each other. And yet we don't understand that that is what is going on underneath the surface. We have to give each other the benefit of the doubt and recognize, again, neither of these ways is wrong or right. They're just different. And if we want to come together around money, we have to understand what's going on.
And you talk in the fifth insight about having like knee-jerk reactions because we have faulty beliefs about money and about our partner. We don't have time to get right into that, but there's so much more here in the book. What do you want to say, Shanti, in closing to that person listening who admits they avoid talking about money with their partner because it's difficult or it's uncomfortable?
Yeah, well, I'll say you're sitting in my seat. A few years ago when we started this research project, Jeff and I couldn't talk about money either. It was one of the big areas we really were not on the same page. And I was scared to do this research project because I knew we would actually have to talk about it. And now 3 years later, after we've done this and really understood not just what's in the other person's heart, but in our own heart, like I couldn't have explained to you why something irritated me, for example. Now that we know this stuff, it is so much simpler than you think to be able to come together around this incredibly important topic. And so don't deny yourself really that benefit, that beauty of making money an opportunity for connection rather than for conflict. Really, you can do this.
Thriving in love and money. 5 game-changing insights about your relationship, your money, and yourself. Shanti Feldhahn, co-author, our guest this week for the Wednesday Bookmark. Really appreciate your time this morning, Shanti.
Absolutely.
To hear this interview again or to discover more great books, visit chri.ca. The Wednesday Bookmark, brought to you by booksforchrist.com. Proudly Canadian, booksforchrist.com.